Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Pearl Global Industries Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pallab Banerjee, Managing Director of Pearl Global Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, and I welcome everyone to our Q2 and H1 of Financial Year 23 earnings conference call. Along with me, we have our Group CFO, Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. I hope all of you have gone through our investor presentation uploaded on the exchange and our company website. I am happy to state that the growth momentum continued for us during the first half year of Financial Year 23, and we achieved a path-breaking highest ever H1 revenue. Our capacity utilization has improved substantially, which has increased the overall efficiency of our operations. On the geographic mix of sales, our overseas sales have grown on the back of increase in the unit value realization, while the domestic sales, that means in India, have risen both due to the increased volume and increase in the realization that we have done. With the backdrop of the macro challenges, we are focused on the geographical diversity in our customer base. This should help us to maintain our overall business share and operational efficiencies. The demand environment in the US continues to be a bit challenging, but with growing preference of other geographies where Pearl Global is a supplier and also has a customer base, the input prices, which have been subsiding quite significantly, and the widespread geographic presence and the deep entrenched network that we have in our relationships with the marquee clientele, it should help us in battling these tough situations. As a strategy, we are inputting new customers and market. We have been servicing the customers from multiple manufacturing locations, and we continue to do that, and that's definitely a strength that Pearl will be encashing upon. The US market specifically, where we had a big share, has been going up and down. So if you look at the last few months, it seems to be a little bit positive. The market has responded well, but whether it's going to stay or the inflation is going to win over, that's only time will tell us. But yes, for now, as the first half of the year, like we have shown significant growth, the second half of the year, our goal would be to maintain the kind of growth that we have had already so that we don't lose this market share and then pick it up as the market again improves. So that should be our strategy going forward. With that, let me hand over to Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, our Group CFO, who will run us through the financial performance of the company.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Q2 and H1 FY23 earning conference call. Coming to the financial and operational performance of the company, we have reported the highest ever H1 performance. On a consolidated basis, H1 FY23 revenue increased by 53% YOY to Rs. 1711.4 crore on account of increase in overseas revenue by 30% and India by 60%. On a standalone basis, revenue for H1 FY23 stood at Rs. 628.4 crore, a growth of 62.7% over H1 FY22. improved overseas business performance can be attributed to improved realizations, whereas in India, improved performance is a combination of increase in number of pieces shipped along with improved realizations. On a consolidated basis, EBITDA for H1 FY23 stood at 119.6 crores, a growth of 106%, while margins improved 180 bps year-on-year from 5.2% in H1 FY22 to 7% in H1 FY23. On a standalone basis, EBITDA for H1 FY23 stood at 38.1 crore, a growth of 109.6%, while margins improved 140 basis points year-on-year from 4.7% in H1 FY22 to 6.1% in H1 FY23. Adjusted PBT, excluding exceptional item for H1 FY23 on a consolidated basis, grew 201% from 25.9 crore in H1 FY22 to 77.8 crore in H1 FY23. We had an exceptional loss of 22.5 crore in H1 FY23 versus a profit of 6.5 crore in H1 FY22. On a standalone basis, adjusted PBT grew 213.5% from 10.1 crore in H1 FY22 to 31.8 crore in H1 FY23. PAT for H1 FY23 on a consolidated basis stood at 62.3 crore versus 24.8 crore in H1 FY22, whereas on a standalone basis it was 23.6 crore versus 12 crore. Coming to the quarterly performance, our strong financial performance during this quarter was aided by substantial improvement in the India business on account of improved product mix, increased contribution from in-house manufacturing and partnership facilities. On a consolidated basis, total income for quarter 2 FY23 increased by 26% year-on-year to ₹860.3 crore. EBITDA margin for quarter 2 FY23 improved from 5.9% in quarter 2 FY22 to 6.1% in quarter 2 FY23. For H1 FY23, EBITDA margin improved 180 basis points from 5.2% in H1 FY22 to 7% in H1 FY23. Margin improvement is on account of improved product mix, operating leverage and improved operational efficiency. Adjusting for the exceptional income, PBT for quarter 2 FY23 grew by 38.4% to 32.4 crore versus 23.4 crore in quarter 2 FY22. We had an exceptional loss of 40 lakh in quarter 2 FY23 versus a profit of 6.5 crore in quarter 2 FY22. PAT for quarter 2 FY23 stood at 25.9 crore versus 2.5 crore in quarter 2 FY22. On a standalone basis, revenue for quarter 2 FY23 grew 39% from 216.3 crore to 300.5 crore. EBITDA grew 75% from 9.4 crore to 16.4 crore. EBITDA margin improved 110 bps. From 4.3% in quarter 2 FY22 to 5.4% in quarter 2 FY23. Adjusted PBT for quarter 2 FY23 stood at 8.1 crore versus 4 crore, a growth of 102% year-on-year. Quarter 2 FY22 had an exceptional gain of 6.4 crore. PAT for quarter 2 FY23 degrew from 7.6 crore to 5.6 crore. The reason for degrowth in that PAT for quarter 2 FY22 includes the exceptional item of 6.4 crore. Our strong performance is reflected with our strengthening balance sheet. On a consolidated basis, gross debt as on September 2022 stood at ₹455 crore versus 564 crore as on March 2022. Net gearing ratio dropped from 0.69 to 0.4. Return on capital employed calculated on TTM basis improved significantly from 12.4% in FY22 to 20.4% in H1 FY23. Net working capital days reduced significantly to 40 days versus 63 days in FY22. Cash and cash equivalent increased significantly from 150 crore in FY22 to 187 crore as on September 2022. On a standalone basis, gross debt as on September 2022 dropped to 206 crore from 260 crore in March 2022. Net gearing ratio dropped to 0.45 from 0.57 as on March 2022. ROCE improved from 10.3% in FY22 to 16.2% in H1 FY23. Net working capital days as on September 22 dropped to 35 days from 62 days as on March 2022. Going ahead, we are confident on the industry growth and we believe that our company is best placed to capture the larger pie of this opportunity. Thank you. We shall now open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you. We will now begin the question answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the first question on the line of Parth Vasani from KK Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. First one would be, could you tell us what is our business moat and what differentiates us from our competitors?
So, Pearl has been positioned for a multi-product and multi-country manufacturing company. So, we do various products, right from woven tops, knit tops, dresses, bottoms, pants, denims. Then we have got the outerwear, the activewear. So that game brings in quite a wide amount of product for our customer. The strategic customers that have been working with us have been working in multiple products, and they have been also using our multiple countries of manufacturing. So during the kind of, you know, the recent upheaval that we have had regionally, whether during the pandemic or during the logistics challenges that we had, this diversity of our operations base, that is out of Indonesia, Vietnam, Bangladesh and India, has been a big strong strength that has been well appreciated by our customers and helped us in bringing our strategic ability with our customer base. So that's, I would say, is a differentiator that we have. We also work very closely with our strategic customers, having our offices and design and product development teams located at the place of the major customer base that we have, whether it is in New York of USA, London in UK, and the cities of Barcelona and La Coruña in Spain. We also do have a presence in Hong Kong to service our customers from there. Apart from the serviceability that we can do from each of our manufacturing locations. So that's, I would say, is if you look at most of our Indian competitors, like we have this edge. Of course, there are some global competitors who have a similar kind of infrastructure, the big Taiwanese or a big Korean player. So we are, we do have a competition from them, but so far we have bring in the value addition that those people do not have a presence in the South Asia. So we have Southeast Asia, South Asia, both, whereas most of the players, the international players, have mainly in Southeast Asia where their multiple country locations are. So this we consider as our strength in front of our customers, or in the eyes of our customers. Does that answer your question? Or did I miss?
That was helpful. My second question was, despite H1 being a seasonally weak period, we have delivered the highest ever H1 revenue. So was that a result of pre-booking of the orders? And are we confident that this revenue trajectory going ahead?
Yeah. So as I was mentioning, like, you know, when we embarked this journey and presenting ourselves as a strategic player to our customer base, giving them the service across multiple locations and the design service or product development service, that was well appreciated, and we definitely want to grow across the season. So while this has been a low season traditionally for the India region, but if you look at the markets like US markets and all, fall and holiday season are bigger than the spring summer. So India was a location especially for the fashion product. So changing that that particular outlook and providing them a seasonless kind of product across the year. So that means like we can produce for even those seasons which India traditionally has not been doing is an additional advantage which you have seen. So this definitely we would like to maintain in future.
Okay, that was really helpful. So just the last one, what are the possible headwinds and tailwinds for our business, if you can?
Yeah, possible headwinds is definitely the global macro factors at this point of time challenging or is challenging, I would say. There is definitely inflation across the globe, which is affecting the customer, the consumer sentiments. So that's, I would say, is the biggest challenge at this point of time. And coupled by that fact that in our industry, most of the retailers had an over-inventory situation. So although the inflation is high, we are already in the second year of inflation, if you look at it globally. The first year of inflation, we had almost everything was moving up on the cost of whether it is energy, cost of housing, cost of consumer goods, various across the spectrum was moving up. In the second year of this inflation, what we are seeing is that certain product like the clothing, like the home furnishings, or the product like used cars, like, you know, in the recent trend that we are seeing in the big markets like US and all, has started trending opposite. So they were not growing or not having that inflation as per the other items. So that definitely would bring a unique challenge for our industry or our product, where overall the sentiment is still inflationary, but we won't be matching the rate of inflation, or our clothing and home furnishings and those kind of goods will not be matching the inflation trend that we see overall. So that's, keeping that in mind, we are also seeing the tailwinds, things like the raw material prices are also falling at this point of time with the less demand. And other factors that we are seeing is the geopolitical situation, so which is not changing. Today is 14th, I think. Today, the world is not anymore a unipolar world. It's a bipolar world. We know that now. There is US and China, both are competing at this point of time for supremacy. And if you look at it today, I think is a meeting between the two leaders for the first time in Indonesia. So let's see how that goes. So far, the sentiment says that this bipolar world is going to continue. That means there will be a lot of policies and moves against China being the world factory. So that means that the other producing regions of the world will have something to gain compared to China. So those are the couple of tailwinds that we have, both in terms of raw material and geopolitics, that will continue to push us or be favorable to us. So these are, I would say, the headwinds and the tailwinds that we have today.
Okay. Thank you very much for the detailed answer. And that was it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Akhani.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question on the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers in a very tough circumstances. And my question is on the fact that I'm going through your consolidated P&L, right? So if I'm what I'm seeing is we are not affected at the gross profit margin level. In fact, we have actually improved a bit. So what is the OPEX expense? Why is the OPEX expense so high that our EBITDA is getting impacted? Is there anything specific or is there anything one-off to this quarter? So I just wanted to understand that.
So no, there is no one-off as such we have in the OPEX in this particular quarter. I think this quarter is having the all operating expenses which are normally supposed to be in quarter two of the last financial year when we compare a like-to-like quarter-on-quarter comparison. That is why you see the EBITDA margin is showing a slight improvement compared to the last year. You know, we had 5.9% in quarter two FY22 against 6.1% in quarter two FY23.
Okay, but then if I see, so if like-to-like I see, say, the revenue from operation has gone up by 26% YOY, but your other expenses is more than 33%, if I take a rough estimate of it.
Right, other expenses includes the manufacturing cost which we are subcontracting to our partnership factory. So what happened that as the combination of in-house manufacturing and outside manufacturing goes high, the other expenses will increase. But when you look at as a percentage of the sale, actually it is in proportion to what it was last quarter. As we have mentioned that, you know, on a standalone basis, the partnership factories are contributing 20% to the overall revenue as against 9%, which was there in the last year. So that has really causing that other expenses to go high from that point of view.
Okay, so you mean to say like 1 rupee increase in sale is 1 rupee subcontracting expenses gets gets cancelled out more or less. You want to say right?
In some way, you know, if the partnership factory revenue is increasing, there will be increase in other expenses. There will be less expense increase in the employee expenses. So you will see the other expenses will go high because we are doing more of a C&M model where we pay to the subcontractor or the partnership factory as the goods get delivered to us. So there is no employee cost which is incurred by us. All the cost which we incurred is kind of a manufacturing cost, the job work cost which sits in the other manufacturing expense.
Okay. Coming to the inventory levels with our customers, what is the status of it? Because if I'm not wrong, earlier you had said that they have been cutting down the purchases by around 10 to 30%. But with the onset of winter, strong winter, if I may say, so how does the situation looks for December and January?
Booked our spring season, spring of 23, and now currently the booking is on for summer of 23, and then the next season would be coming is fall of 23. Now, spring and summer of 23 was directly proportional to the sentiments that the Western markets had in the spring and summer of 22. And the fall 23 bookings or the planning that will be happening over the next couple of months would be in proportion to the sentiments that we are having now in the market. So if I look at financials of the month of October, so yes, there are a little bit of positive trend. As you know, in USA, which is one of the larger market, the consumer price index have come out or increased month on month by about 0.4% against the expectation of 0.6%. So definitely this drop of 0.2% has been celebrated. I think you're seeing that overall in the market, the financial market. So let's see that might give that indication that how much of interest rate the Fed would be increasing eventually and when they can be able to control it. But it's too early to say. What we are seeing is that October, more or less, most of the retailers who we are working with have been a little upbeat compared to the earlier months. It is not a situation where they are really overjoying at this point of time. Yes, they have lost significantly over the last few quarters and months. So yes, some of them are coming very aggressively to the sourcing side to get the price benefits as the prices have come down. So definitely I would say the margin pressure would continue to be there. But in terms of the volume, I think where they bought significantly down, like up to 30 plus percentage, they were buying less. I think coming fall, we expect that it should be a lower number. They might still buy less compared to, like I would say, pre-pandemic or even the last year, or the surge that we saw in 2021-22. So compared to that, definitely there would be less buy. How much? Not sure as of yet. Maybe 10-15%, maybe 5-10%. We don't know as of yet. But yeah, that's the kind of trending that we are seeing, which will be much more improved compared to the spring-summer, but yes, it will not be as good. Keeping that in mind, so that's why, like, you know, our strategies have been to not completely depend on only one market or one customer. So this is the line that we can bring in more customers in our mix, diversify the market, like the other markets like Japan or UK or Europe, to increase our percentage share in those markets. So those are the strategies that would be countering this trend that is happening in the US.
Okay. And what is our exposure to Europe as a percentage of total sales?
Avinash, like, you know, it used to be much better. Like, you know, before pandemic, it was in the range of, if I would say, more towards 65-35 US and non-US. So during the pandemic time and the strength that US market had of online, etc. So it went up. So naturally, like, you know, the US became much stronger. Our share in US went up to almost like 80%. So we are definitely coming back to that trend of 65-35. That's our wish list. Currently, I would say Europe, if you're talking specifically of, could be around 15%, but it should go up in the next few seasons and months when we become much more normal and move towards that 65-35 or even 60-40 if I look at US and non-US.
So even 15% of your exports, total exports, right?
Yeah, like, you know, if you talk of this last quarter, that's the kind of number it would be.
Right, right. So, and coming to the part of your raw material prices, from the gross profit margin, it looks like it's more or less stabilized. So, we don't have any inventory, right? I mean, high-cost inventory, actually, left in the books.
No, we don't have.
Okay, fine. Last question from my side. I just want to know if you are going to revise your guidance for FY23 that you gave in quarter one, which was around sales of 3,200 crores, and margin you said it should be around Q1 FY23, which I presume it is 7.5% roughly. So is there any change in your guidance, or you're going to still stick to it?
So with the H1, actually has been a very phenomenal, exceptional year for us. H2, ideally speaking, with the like-to-like comparison like previous year, should help us in buttressing the same kind of EBITDA margin. However, we are watchful of the trend which is emerging because of recession or fear or the subdued demand. Overall, as we look at a full year basis, we should improve EBITDA margin compared to what it was there in last year. We should be able to get a complete hang of it, I think, by end of December as to where we should have a complete full year picture. But definitely there will be improvement compared to last year.
On the revenue as well as EBITDA, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Vinesh.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Riddhesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to understand, you know, with this increasing base of revenue, you know, and the operational efficiencies kicking in and the utilization kicking in, yet our EBITDA margins are roughly the same and we aren't seeing an uptick. Is this because of the RM actually pressure, and do we expect this to normalize going into FY24?
So the raw material price is fluctuating, and in our industry, like normally we pass on the raw material price difference to the customer. So yes, yeah, so that trend will continue. In terms of the efficiencies, yes, like if we are regularly with this growth and the kind of volume or the kind of capacity utilization that that we are targeting towards, yes, year on year, definitely the efficiency should be, you know, stabilizing and improving, I would say.
And right now, how much is the correct capacity utilization which we're running at?
So the H1 that we had was definitely, I think, 90 plus.
27 million pieces shipped.
Yeah.
Got it. Understood. So we are like 90% plus in terms of H1. And we expect H2, given we have probably got a reasonable amount of visibility, it's in line with H1?
And H2 is definitely the kind of, you know, the growth that we had in H1 may not be there in H2 because of the market, how it is behaving. So our focus would be to maintain this, you know, the market share that we have had. The growth might slow down, the top line might slow down, but whatever we have gained, we should not be losing out that market share. Again, like as the market normalizes, then we should again grow. So that's the kind of strategy that we would have.
Got it. So it's roughly 800 crores of the revenue run rate is something we think we can maintain into H2 as well.
Yes, we are hopeful of that. As I said, you know, for the full year basis, we should be showing growth in terms of the top line and the bottom line, and improvement in the EBITDA margin as well. This is where, you know, the situation is looking like. Quarter three should also show similar kind of a number as we achieved last year. So, I mean, roughly around the same, you know, 750 to 800 crores should be the quarterly run rate.
Got it. And so EBITDA, I think like last year we did roughly, I think, if I recall right, about 8% EBITDA margin. This year we are tracking slightly lower at about 6%. So do we expect to close this year above 8%? So, I mean, effectively H2 will have reasonably higher EBITDA margins?
I think last year EBITDA, excluding other income, was at close to 5%.
Okay.
And if you include the other income, we may be close to the percentage which you just mentioned. But okay, when we look at EBITDA, we are looking at excluding other income. So excluding other income, last year it was around 5%. We should see an improvement in this percentage on an overall basis for the full year.
Got it. And just so I understand, obviously the EBITDA margins of a company obviously depends a lot on the product mix as well, you know. So given what our product mix is in terms of, you know, if we look at FY24, FY25, how high can we go to in terms of EBITDA margins, do you think?
So our goal is to reach the double-digit EBITDA, I think, in coming quarters. Now, whether it's FY25 or mid of FY25, it's, as you rightly said, it's a combination of the product mix and also the macro factor getting, you know, stabilizing and then, you know, stabilizing in our favor in that sense. So it should be, we are targeting towards 10%. That's where we are heading.
Got it. And then, just as a last question, if we look at, obviously, you know, as you've been indicating, the overall potential of a recession next year in the U.S. and all of these things, we still feel that we'll be able to maintain our revenue given some amount of gain in share from other, let's say, countries and companies?
Yes, that's where all the effort is going towards, yeah.
Got it. Okay, all right. Thank you. I'll just rejoin the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Ashay Jain from Jain Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. So I have a few questions. Starting with on the margin front, so how did we manage to deliver such good margins despite an increase in revenue from partnership facilities? And will margins not affect going forward, assuming contribution for partnership facilities improve?
So you see, the H1 margin improvement has been largely because of the product mix. We have, that's where the USP of Pearls comes into. While we are expanding to the partnership factory to get maybe at a slightly lower margin, at the same time our factories in Vietnam, Indonesia are in high-end categories, outerwear segment, where the FOB price, which is the realization for piece, has been increasing at least, you know, in some product style, it has been 75% to 80% growth compared to what it was last year. So when you look at a basket of all the products put together overseas and India, Bangladesh, in Vietnam and Indonesia, that gives us an edge in terms of really balancing our capacity utilization across the group and taking the, at the same time, meeting the customer requirement also for the different kind of a style and different segment they also want to cater to.
Okay, understood. So secondly, are we looking to expand in any other geographies?
Yes, we would be. I had mentioned that in some of my earlier calls that we want to bring in a complete supply chain solution to our customers. So currently we are present in two of the major supply chains of apparel. So we would continue to explore the other geographies, and as we deem fit, we will definitely expand to the third and the fourth supply chain at some point of time.
Sure, that's helpful. Lastly, what are the inefficiencies that we have actually worked upon and parameters we are working to improve or sustain our margins going forward?
So at the factory level, definitely automations, the man-machine ratios, the kind of, the capacity utilization, those are like very important. Simultaneously, what kind of rejections, what kind of, inventory control that we have, tracking it, digitization of our factories. So some of those initiatives are fully on in our organizations also. We have monitored our performance parameters continuously, and that has become a rigor in the organization, which you are seeing slowly some input or some of the improvement in the numbers. So as we gain that strength, these numbers would also improve further. On the other front, definitely the market does demand more, I would say, recyclable energy or the renewable energies or the kind of water efficiencies, the energy, chemical efficiencies. Those are also the areas where the company is continuously looking into for improvement. So that also would benefit us in the coming quarters. So I would say these are the two major changes that is going across in the organization.
Understood. Yeah, that's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Akash Mehta from Capiz Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. I had two questions on the customers and the capacity utilization. So first, for the customers, who are the new customers that have joined our kitty over the last quarter or half year?
So we have a strict policy in terms of inputting our customers. So normally the customer has to be, that means there should be insurance or factoring available. So we are not bringing in any risky customers. We are going for the kind of customers where we do have the insurance or the factoring completely available.
Okay, and would there be any inventory pileup on the customer's end, and how would that affect us?
See, inventory, the kind of customer that we are talking about are the people like who are the major retailers across the globe. So as I said, otherwise this insurance or the risk mitigation is not possible. There are customers who have, you know, very good names in the market, maybe like, you know, in terms of fashion and all, but the financials are not okay. So naturally, those are the customers like we are, although the opportunity exists, but we are not getting into. At the same time, there are other big retailers have a consistency of performance in the market and being transparent. Those are the ones like where the insurance and the factoring is available. So our growth would be limited to them in terms of how we move ahead. In terms of these customers, when they buy, so they are not, I think you can expect them to be better in terms of their inventory management. Of course, like this particular year has been bad. Most, even like the big guys like Walmart and Target also have created inventory issues in their supply chain. Fortunately for us, we do have a little bit of pack and hold from one or two of our customers, so the numbers are not that significant. And we don't expect it to be going forward.
Okay. All right. And on our capacity utilization, presently, how much do we expect the revenue from the partnership facility scale up going ahead?
The partnership facilities, the whole model of partnership facility for Pearl has been to avoid capex. So once we see a regular business in terms of once you have grown and added more numbers into us, so then we can slowly remove that kind of, you know, that partnership and make it into our own factory. So that should be the strategy that would be going forward or had been, would continue to play like that. So in the initial growth when we are having, definitely it benefits us by working with the partnership factory so that before our capex, we can be very sure of how much of capacity will be utilized. So if you look at it, the first half of the quarter and the last year, like we had a significant growth in our business volume. So that there, the advantage of partnership factory really played well. So as we go into the year, it will be more of consolidation mode. I don't see any increase in the partnership factory at this point of time over the next 5 to 6 months or a year. What we have already, we'll continue to utilize that. And some of it also we will try to use our volume to get the maximum advantage of this business. I hope that replies what you are looking for.
Right. No, that's helpful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Akash.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Prachi Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Ms. Prachi Sharma, can you hear us?
Hello, sir.
Yes.
Am I audible now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. I just have a couple of questions. Firstly being, can you throw some light on the growth drivers for the business going ahead? What gives you the confidence of a strong order book?
What would be, sorry, the second part of the question, can you repeat?
What gives you the confidence of a strong order book?
Okay, confidence of strong order book. As I said, like, you know, Pearl is very strongly positioned with our strategic customers because we are supplying multiple product from multiple locations. So that gives us the confidence. Our presence in the more matured manufacturing markets like Indonesia, Vietnam, and Bangladesh, which all three of these have significant advantage and maturity compared to India. So that gives us a second part of our confidence. The kind of strategic relationship that we have with our top five or six customers, where we work very closely with them in terms of their projections and their planning for a longer period of time. That means more than the next few seasons. So that gives us the confidence. So these are the three factors that definitely helps us in terms of our order book.
All right, sir. So my next question is, how sustainable are these margins and what has led to the improvement?
So margins sustainability will depend on two things, depending on the raw material prices, like how jerky or how, I would say, like how frequently this spikes or how it bottoms out. So if the movement is stable, so then the forecasting is possible, and in that situation, normally the customers that we are supplying to take the brunt of the increase of raw material prices, and then similarly, like when it decreases, they take the advantage of it, so that our operating margin or the numbers that we play with is more or less constant, and we don't have to build up inventory to supply to them. So that's how the our manufacturing in this industry operates.
All right. Got it, sir. Just one last question. What is the inflationary situation in US and how is it affecting our business?
Inflation, as I was explaining, is still continuing. Like, you know, you said it's continuously raising the interest rate, and as the chairman of the Fed also said in his speech, that it will continue to do so. At least three or four times that phrase was used, that it will increase further. So definitely inflation, I won't say is under control at this point of time, but over the last month, consumer price index that has come out, where it seems that it is slowing down. So that advantage is being celebrated in the stock market that you have seen in the last couple of sessions. So let's see like how it goes. What affects is definitely the sentimentality of the consumer. So that affects us directly. And also I mentioned that as these numbers are slowing down in the US in terms of inflationary numbers, the major impact is coming because of things like, you know, the clothing. There is the housing that has softened, the clothing prices, like, you know, the kind of inflation that they had last year has softened down now. Even the home furnishings have come down. The school expenses and all have also started decreasing. So certain areas in U.S., like, which contributes to this inflation, is softening up. So unfortunately, the one that we are in is the first one to getting impacted. But I think overall, these sentiments should improve. And that's what we are looking for at this point of time. So yes, I cannot say that I know everything. I don't have the crystal ball as yet. But the trend that we have seen in this last 1 month has been, I would say, favorable. So let's see like how it continues. The biggest season in retail would be this holiday season, which will be this month of November and December. So how it goes will play a big role in terms of the consumer sentiment.
Right, sir. Thank you so much. This answers all my questions. I'll just get back. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sharma.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. As we have no further questions, I would like to hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. However, should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to contact our team or SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on the call.
Thank you. On behalf of Pearl Global Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.